14 podcast presented by Sports Interaction, your homegrown sports book. Bet local today with Sports Interaction. And if you're watching this, and if you are listening to this on podcast platforms, you will see a brand new Gate 14 logo. We are maybe going with the City Connects. It's a City Connect logo for us, Abe.
Yeah, City Connects. You know, you try and get the fans involved. It was a very, very distinct wording as to what we were doing. It was a forced rebrand. Although I love it, Cam, our guy, awesome job. Yep. We were just like, for the hoodies, Johnny's wearing the hoodie right now. We were just like, okay, I kind of want like a script logo. I think it would look sick. Cam made an awesome one. And little did we know, it's going to be turning into the permanent Gate 14 logo. You want to describe what happened?
Okay, so I got off a call with someone, and they essentially told me, like, listen, we got word from the Blue Jays. I don't know if it's the lawyers or something to do with the team. And they said that they mentioned that your logo is using the lettering of the Toronto Blue Jays. I don't think we were, to be honest with you. I don't think we're using the exact lettering. There's a lot of differences. Zeus pointed it out. But they said, like, if it's not changed, you probably could potentially have a lawsuit in your hands or anything along those lines. So I recommend you change it. So
I really, really wish a lawyer did that, because imagine, I know how much my girlfriend makes an hour. I can only imagine the Toronto Blue Jays, I guess they might have in-house, but just $700 an hour to write something up because the Gate 14 boys were using their
logo. It seems like a waste of time to worry about a podcast that is quite literally, and I've had executives that work within the team tell me this, that we are bringing more eyes, younger eyes, to the Toronto Blue Jays, which is what they need. They need a younger crowd, and we are bringing a younger crowd to the Toronto Blue Jays. It just seems like a waste of time to be worried about the fucking logo of your number one independent sports podcast in Canada, like your number one independent baseball podcast in Canada, right?
Yeah, it's very funny to me. I think it's whatever. Like, if we weren't on their radar, they wouldn't even come out and say that to us, right? Like,
it means we're doing something well.
Yeah, they don't. Right? They don't threaten lawsuits to nobodies that they're not worried about. I don't know. I think we're worried. We're trying to promote the same thing and work towards the same goal.
We're on the same team.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think it was really funny when you told me that, but no, we'll have.
Yeah, because you didn't take part in the meeting because you were doing something at work, and I had to, like, I told you, like, 2:30, like, we have a meeting, which is weird because we don't usually have meetings. And yeah, they pretty much just told us, like, someone mentioned something about your logo. So I highly recommend you guys switch it.
It was classic scare tactics too. We're not going band for band with Rogers anytime soon on lawyers.
I think the people would donate. We started a GoFundMe to go to court with the Blue Jays. I genuinely think Gate 14 Nation would fund it. I think they'd fund it.
Yeah, but I think everyone was just used to the other logo. I was too. Like, the fact that the background coloring is a little bit different. You tweeted from the Gate 14 Twitter account, and it came up on my feed. I was like, oh. I didn't even know we tweeted this because it just looked a little bit different. So
yeah,
I'm sure some people, it's a podcast logo. I don't think anyone was married to the other one.
The only marriage I have to it is like, I don't know, man. It's like, it's the kind of thing that changed my life. It sounds fucking cliche and corny and cheesy, but that simple logo was a part of a brand that essentially got me through tough time. Like, I don't know, man. It's just, I have some emotional ties to it, obviously, but all good things come to an end, and this is the rebrand now.
Yeah, I think so. It was very easy to tell. The guy who did the original logo, Nick, he was like, because we made it. What were some of your first ideas were really funny for what you wanted?
Well, I wanted to do the gate, like, you know, like the sculptures on Gate 14, like being, I don't know how to describe it, like the sculptures of it being in the logo or something like that. But the logo that I really want still, and I don't know how we could possibly get it done, is like a logo where it's like you and I in cartoon in front of actual Gate 14, like with the square Gate 14 over us in the center, and you and I just like under it, like in cartoon type of thing. You know what I'm saying? I think that would be electric, Avery.
That would be cool too. We could use that for like the podcast logo.
Yeah, exactly. Well, then this would be the merch logo, right?
I do like having multiple logo options.
So you're more of the new wave. You like MLB teams with, so you like the Padres using the SD and then the Padre, like the guy with the bat.
I love a good secondary logo. It's,
I do too.
It's like,
I
it's
do
good
too,
for, it's good for videos. Like at the end of every podcast, I'm just like, what do I put with the music? And I just put like the OG Gate 14 logo at the back there. So
yeah,
like, secondary logo, you know,
it's just funny, man. It's funny. It was whatever. Like I wasn't scared or anything along those lines. I'm like, it would be bad for their brand if they sued us. Like, like if you want to get on the wrong side of the fans, that's kind of how you do it. Like,
yeah, they don't,
especially
care.
With the kind of the cult like following or the army that we kind of have, right? I mean, it would be bad for the, it'd be a bad look. So I don't think they would do that. I have no ill will towards the Toronto Blue Jays. Obviously,
I mean,
no ill.
Copyright law is something that is very, very tough to understand.
Yes, and I'll never, and I don't even care about going to court for it. I just literally turtled. I don't care if it was a scare tactic. We literally just turtled. Once I hear the word potential lawsuit, that's when I'm immediately like, all right, I guess it's time to fucking switch things up.
Yeah, I'm also scared of lawsuits. I'll say it, hand up.
And I don't want to pay for that. I mean, we make decent money now. It's just like, I don't want to have to just go into the negatives on this podcast.
We don't want to go to a meeting for at the bank, let alone fucking...
I know the meeting at the bank and took us like 3 months to finally just muster up and do it. Imagine what
we are
having to meet with lawyers and shit.
We are two of the worst administrative people in Canada.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's that's why I'll say it. I miss JR. I wish he was, he rocks.
He was the business manager.
Yeah, he's
didn't
really
watch
good.
The Blue Jays much, but he was a business manager.
Yeah, no, I miss
and he was good with it. Maybe we'll get JR on one of these pods in the near future, just a little bit, like JR's
I think JR is coming home soon once his time's up in LA. So it would be nice to reconnect a little for the
maybe get him on, like, what's up with JR? People would love it, because a lot of our listeners don't know JR, I feel like. Like probably like more than half of them now, probably. Or three quarters of them, maybe. I like when JR was on, we were still not getting as crazy numbers as we're getting now, I feel, right?
No, for sure not.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, that was the fiasco that we've been DM'd and tweeted at a million times about, like, what's going on with the logo. So there you have it. But yeah, just funny stuff. And second thing that I wanted to address, we have a bunch of fucking New York Times critics in the YouTube comment section of the last video saying, oh, Johnny ruins the pot. Johnny this, Johnny talks over Avery, Johnny that. Let me clear some things up. If you want to listen to a structured suit and tie podcast, go listen to those, the Sportsnet ones, okay? This podcast, me and Avery, I'll speak on my front, I'm very dumb, okay? My brain works at a million miles per hour. I think of random shit if you look at my Twitter. That's just how I roll. And when I want to talk about something, I'm scared I'm going to forget it, so I have to bring it up. That's just how I roll. I have tons of stuff written down, obviously, as well, but that's just how I roll. And people saying, Johnny talks over Avery. Do you understand how Zoom works? It like, sometimes I don't know if Avery's sentence is done. Avery doesn't know sometimes if my sentence is done because we're not with each other. We have this simple tactic of holding a mic when we're beside each other, and we know when each other's we're talking. So for the people saying, like, Johnny talks over Avery, do I do that sometimes? Yeah, sure, because like I said, my brain, like, whatever. But if you want a structured podcast, one, why are you listening to this? Why the fuck are you listening to this? And two, like, that's just how Gate 14 is. We're all over the place. That's how it always will be. And that's what I think. That's our brand. So
we're unfortunately bad because we are the same. Like, you have the worst undiagnosed ADHD known to man, and I have diagnosed ADHD. If I think of something, it's going to go out of my head in 10 seconds as well. So
yeah,
we're far too alike for that to happen. And that structure is not a bad thing, but we do.
We're better with the structure. We're better with the structure than when we started. I'll tell you that for free.
Yeah,
we would talk about the most random shit and then just flip flop and then go back to it. Like, just insane stuff. But the people saying I ruin the player interviews we do. If I ruin the player interviews, these guys wouldn't be coming back on with us. So just, I had to address that. Cause first of all, it blows my mind. People hate listen to this or hate watch it. Cause it's a waste of your time. And I don't understand why you do it. I don't listen to any other podcast that I don't listen to podcasts I don't like. Am I listening to Talking Yanks? No, I don't fucking listen to that shit. It's just crazy. So I saw those comments and I was like, this is weird. Like, this is a weird comment to leave, just pretty much calling me up, saying I ruined stuff or I have no idea what I'm like, just crazy stuff. It was crazy. It pissed me off, to be honest with you. It kind of did.
Yeah, definitely pissed you off. That's all right, man. I wouldn't be doing this with you if I didn't enjoy it and I didn't think it would work well. So
that's just what we do. That's what we do. But let's go into some of the weekend stuff. So yesterday, I kind of like the Jays playing at night on Saturday. It's kind of sick.
In what,
lead
in
your
which
way
way?
Into the bar.
Yeah, that is cool. You can't watch it as much as when it's like Friday night before. I was fine with it last night too, because the Leafs.
You might have turned your levels up a little bit, Abe.
Can we comment on the Leafs just a little bit?
Yeah, we'll comment on the Leafs. But yeah, yesterday rocked. It was like the perfect. We were at Altos. You were at dinner, but it was just lads at Altos. It was like 10 lads, and then there was like Natalie, Liv, Emma, and Haley. But it was just all lads watching the Leafs game, which albeit did not go well. So we kind of just turned on the Jays game. But having a Saturday night Jays game lead in, and then right when the game ends, you go to the bar, kind of rocks.
It was the perfect way because it was a good win as well. So
yes.
I'll give you that one as well. Yeah, and the Leafs effort for the tough one for Leafs fans when they think they're going to get over the hump with Boston. So that's my official comment is the series doesn't start till the away team wins the game.
Yes.
Every series. So
I think the Leafs win tonight, Monday. If you're listening to this, obviously, I think the Leafs win tonight, but we'll see. I don't know.
So we'll be
I know
on
our
stream.
Listeners are gonna be...
We're going to stream tomorrow night, right?
Yeah. Well, we'll be streaming tomorrow night. So we'll have that going a little bit on the background as well.
It'll be a double kind of Leaf stream, obviously full J stream. So
full J stream,
get your fix tomorrow.
Full J stream, but Dog and Bear, shout out to fucking Dog and Bear, man. What an establishment. That it's a bar of the year for a reason, Avery.
I love that play. I had a catastrophic fuck up last night. It wasn't you were there for it.
Oh
there.
Yes. Yeah.
So
you want to tell, yeah, you tell it.
So game finishes. I tweet out whatever, I'm just tweeting that the game's over, Jays win, whatever. And so I get the Uber to try and go to Dog and Bear. And so I'm scrolling, but the previews of the people liking the tweets keep coming up. So I can't like see around it. So I'm typing in dog. That's all I type in is dog. And I just press the first one because like what else is named after dogs like in this area? Well, I should have listened because the Uber driver took us to the dog's bollocks instead of Dog and Bear. And it was a kilometer and a half away from where we needed to be. Luckily on the same road, but we get out and everyone's like, we're not here. I was like, oh.
And
this
we
isn't
tried
Dog
to weasel
and
the Uber driver. We're like, can you just drive us like a kilometer down the street? He's like, no, I already got in my next ride. We're like, motherfucker, we have to walk a kilometer and a half to Dog and Bear now because we showed up to the dog's bollocks. Shout out the dog's bollocks, by the way. Unreal logo. Seems like a great establishment. I might have to show up there. No free ads, but I might have to show up there.
I think I'm going to have to show up there at some point too.
Seems like a great spot, but I will say at Dog and Bear yesterday, one funny story. The other one, I don't know if I could really go into, but we're just chilling there. It's probably like 1:30, 2 o'clock, and a full-blown wedding shows up. Were you there for that? No, you weren't.
I left it.
A bride showed up to Dog and Bear in her wedding dress, and like the entire wedding party just full of suits showed up. I kept saying to the bride, like, congrats. And I just kept, she was drinking with us, so I just kept grabbing her hand, like pointing, like, look at this rock. And I was pumping the groom's tires. It was electric.
How old were these people?
Probably like 30, low 30s maybe. It was bananas.
Did they meet at Dog and Bear? What was the reason for them?
I have
there?
No idea. I think they like went out into they got married like down the street or something. They're like, let's go to fucking Dog and Bear. It's like, what the hell?
They weren't ready for the night. I like that actually.
Unbelievable stuff. Yeah, unbelievable stuff. I think the groom kept saying to me, go talk to one of the bridesmaids. I was so fucked. I just like didn't even look at the bridesmaids, but I was mangled. It was electric stuff. It was great stuff. But let's go. I guess we can go to the baseball now. Friday's game. This team loves quiet quitting. They love the little early runs, 4 runs in the first two, and then not score for the rest of the game. Friday's game rocked. The stream, it might have been because it was a Friday beer stream, OG Gate 14 vibes, but Friday rocked. What a game that was.
Yeah. Friday streams rock. The 9:40 start. It feels great when that game starts, and then you get to the last inning and it's midnight and you're like, oh, Now I remember why the 9:40 start isn't that fun. There wasn't that much memorable stuff from that game besides
Dariel.
Yariel being sick, right? Like I can't think of a huge moment. I keep forgetting. I'm
How
dumb
do you
about him.
take a look? I know everyone's saying, oh, Manoah, by the way, had a pretty good start in AAA. Rough first inning, but very good for the rest of the game. Everyone's saying, like, do you move Yariel to the pen, Manoah this, Manoah that. If they move Yariel Rodriguez out of this rotation, I will revolt. I will revolt. I am so Y-Rod pilled, Avery. This dude rocks. The little jump he does after he throws, like the little hop step, and then the fist pumps. I can't get enough of Y-Rod. I really can't. And what a signing by Ross Atkins. I think we have Y-Rod for, is it five years?
Four with an option, I think,
Four with an option,
or
yes.
five with an option. One of
Yeah.
those is correct. I think it's a player option too, so he'll decide if he wants to stay or not.
Yeah.
He has been awesome, and he kind of pitches with his nuts on the table. He's like, okay, I'm gonna throw you pitch. Most of the time, it's like it feels like all his misses are in the middle, and he
Yes.
still gets swings and misses. Which, sure, could that change 100%? But he gets up there, and it's like. He did some fun things. I tweeted out the video. He does what looks like a standard Japanese leg lift from any pitcher. He did that to Kyle Higashioka in a 1-2 count in the second inning with runners on second and third. He threw the worst curveball he's ever thrown. He wasn't even close to the zone. And he does it from the full as well. But it's just like those little things. Why would Y-Rod ever do like he? I know he pitched in Japan. That windup is so sick when he does it as well. He'll drop down on his fastball and it's still 95 in on the hand. And then he flipped in a slider at 77. She's like, okay, you're ready for 85. Here's a 77 slider as well. He's got awesome shit, man. And there is no chance in the world that you can put Alek Manoah in instead of Yariel Rodriguez. It makes no sense. And I don't think anyone in the front office is thinking that that's going to happen. Do you?
No, and look at this stat line. Four innings. Again, they're still building him up. It's still early for him. Second start, I believe, or third start.
Second.
Four innings, one earned run, three hits, seven punchies. This guy's pitch arsenal, I didn't realize it was this good. Did you know he had six pitches?
No, I didn't. I was talking to you on stream. It's like, oh, so we just have another. We have Cuban Chris Bassitt.
Who throws fuzz too? Like
Yeah.
throws fuzz.
I think you got up to what, 97?
Yeah,
98?
he's incredible.
Yeah,
He's
I think
incredible. It's
he's awesome to watch pitch, man. We are so lucky with the starters. We have and watching them go. He pitches with an edge. He pitches with emotion. The fist pump after every inning, dude. It's like,
it's
yeah.
so sick.
Like I love when guys are humble, like easy to get around. Like Chris Bassitt looks like he hates his life when he pitches. And then Yariel's just out there like motherfucking the other guys, fist pump, walk off the mound. That shit gets you a little fired up too. And it'll make other teams hate him, which is where you want to be. It's kind of the Alek Manoah thing. So
Yeah,
Yariel's special, man.
I wish Y-Rod went up against the Yankees. That would have been a fun start to see. Just see what he does against the Bronx Bombers
Yeah,
there.
he does do one thing. He gives up the furthest home run you've ever seen as a solo shot. He did
He
it to
really does.
Brendan Doyle, and who hit Tatis hit the other one. But hey, if you're gonna give up one hilariously long home run that's a solo shot every game, you can deal with that.
Yes, and he was the pitch mix, the kind of fuck you attitude on the mound, the messing up with hitters' timing, it's unbelievable. It's a joy to watch, and it goes to show you. I know you talk about this pitching staff. Like 2 years ago, the best pitcher on this team was Alek Manoah, and this was a staff with Chris Bassitt, or not Chris Bassitt. This was a staff with Kevin Gausman and Jose Berríos, and Alek Manoah was the clear cut one on this team. And this team has the best pitching staff in the AL East. And that does not include a Cy Young finalist, a part of it from 2 years, 2 years removed. Crazy.
They've had what, a Cy Young vote getter for five straight seasons?
Yes. Yes, they
And
have. And it's incredible watching this guy. And I can't wait for his next start. His next start is like now. The thing is, Avery, it's like I'm like this with every starter now. It's like every starter that's coming up for this team. Every game, it's like I cannot wait to watch him pitch. Like tomorrow, I can't wait to watch Kikuchi pitch.
yeah, we don't have that guy in our rotation where it's like, oh, Yeah, we're punting today. It's a classic thing where you win the first two games of a series and then you put out the punt lineup and it's like, oh, okay, we know what the manager's doing today. They're happy with two of three. There's no
Yes.
punt pitcher in this rotation. Like you are, it was Manoah last year, obviously. It's like, think about it. When you, if you're a big baseball fan and people know you're a baseball fan and the person who doesn't know that much baseball at work talks to you, it's like when Sandy would say to us, it's like, oh, Manoah day, how's that gonna go? We just don't have that right now. So it is giving yourself a great chance every single time you go out there.
Yes, and
Because the offense is not going to score more than five runs. So you got to keep it under that.
yes, that's a good point. But speaking of the offense, I will give them the flowers on that game. That game specifically, top of the order, who we've needed a lot from, didn't get a lot from this weekend. I will say that on Saturday, Sunday, Bichette Guerrero-Turner went a combined 6 for 14 that game. You need that from the top of the order. I mean, they scored 5 runs in 2 innings, and then, like I tweeted, they quiet quit. They quiet quit after that. But it was electric for the first 2 innings, tell you that much. And then Yariel settled in. Bowden Francis, unbelievable, looked great. The bullpen looked awesome. Did what they had to do against a bad pitcher in Waldron. I don't think Waldron's that good. And they got to him early
Did
and
you
got to
like
the pen early.
seeing a knuckleball back?
Yeah, I did. It was nice, but it's cooler when it's like a strictly knuckleballer, like watching R.A. Dickey, 85% knuckleballs. Like that is electric.
You like that better?
I do like it. I like the knuckleball is a fascinating pitch to me. It's a fascinating pitch in baseball, period. But seeing R.A. Dickey, you know what's coming with the knuckleball as a hitter, and you just can't hit it because R.A. Dickey was so good with it.
He threw it
It's
so hard
incredible.
too.
Yeah.
Because
It,
Waldron would
it's
throw the knuckleball sometimes and it just looked like a cutter.
or a
And then,
changeup. Yeah,
yeah,
it looked like a changeup.
it has been so long since I've seen a knuckleball in a game. I did enjoy it too, and it made his 90 mile an hour fastball look like 101.
Yeah, it did. It did. But yeah, that was a
Justin
great
Turner
bounce
again,
back game.
lead, first inning bomb,
Yep.
just what was it, high fastball? He just hits over center field fence. As soon as that happened, I was like, okay. Playing outside might have something with some hot air that the offense was looking to tap into that they don't see at home. I'm very fascinated by the park factors at Rogers Center with the roof closed in the new dimensions. Nothing's really flying at all. So the team may have some power, and Danny Jansen coming back has shown that. Just open the dome. Let's have some cold games inside, see if we can get the ball flying a little more.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. It's just I'm excited to see what it's like at the Rogers Center once the dome opens. If there's like that, for example, that Schneider ball you hit against the Yankees, is that out? I don't know, right? It's gonna be interesting to see. And I hope the dome's open for this weekend series. Dodgers coming to town this weekend. It's
Yeah, I
going to
think
be an eight.
Friday, Saturday is supposed to be bad weather. Sunday is supposed to be nice.
So yeah, it's gonna be an it the Rogers Center is gonna be an idiot zone for this weekend. It's gonna
And
be
tough
crazy.
schedule coming up too, man. Like what the schedule makers did this year is infuriating when you go through the series. There is like four instances before July where you play team A. You play a random team in the middle, and then you play team A again in the next series. So two of your three series are against the same team. I swear the Jays do that 4 or 5 times before July. So the schedule makers did a horrible job this year. I'm out on schedule makers now.
Me too. I think it might just be computers.
Yeah, fuck those computers. They
Yeah,
suck.
hate softwares.
Because
Hate
they
hate
used
comp
to have a man and his wife
wife do it. Yes.
that imagine having that. How do you think that was their only job?
Yeah, probably. I mean, do you make a sizable income doing that? Just making
Well, that's my
schedule for
question.
major.
And where do you find these people? Like, how do they get
There's
picked?
a cool documentary on it, Avery.
Really?
Yeah, on YouTube about
Oh,
the
I have.
schedule makers. I've watched it. It's like an old lady and her husband. I don't know
Yeah.
if it's like that anymore, but it is
No,
funny.
they changed. They stopped doing that. Maybe like 20. I don't know what year, but it was going on for way too long. A man and his wife were hand making the schedule.
Yes, unbelievable stuff. Unbelievable
I'm
stuff.
gonna go
But
watch that tonight. I didn't know they had one.
yeah, it was. It's a great YouTube documentary. I watched it. It was awesome. But let's go into the Saturday game. The week of Dalton Varsho continues, and it continued today as well, which we will go into. Dalton Varsho, what 5 bombs in a week, Avery? Five bombs in a week. He is now leading the team by two, by the way, and it's all in a week. He's leading the team in home runs, and he was the reason they won this. They've won their last couple series, I guess. He has been unbelievable, Avery.
He really has. The one thing, I forget which guy on Twitter did this and alerted me to what was going on, was his fastballs for Dalton Varsho, because he still can't hit breaking stuff. So someone put in our chat today, it's like, is Dalton Varsho breaking out? It's like, well, he's had a pretty damn good 2 weeks, and breaking out is going to be, you're going to need to do that way longer than 2 weeks to be officially breaking out. I said back to the comment, I said, okay, if he can still hit this many home runs with how pitchers are going to change throwing to him after what they've seen these 2 weeks, then you'll say he's breaking out. Because if we want to look at what he did against fastballs last season, his average launch angle on fastballs last year, 22 degrees. So good. He was pulling, hitting fly balls on fastballs, but he hit 229 against fastballs. Not great. He was a 220 hitter. That was the best he did. He hit 212 against breaking balls, which are slider, curveballs, slurve, sweepers. And then against off speed, he hit 198. None of those are good. Not a single one of those are good. And then we start this season. These numbers will be excluding today. He's hitting 286 against fastballs. His slug is 771, which is great. A launch angle of 28 degrees. And he's whiffing about the same amount on fastballs. But then you look, he's hitting 063 against breaking balls right now.
Uh-oh.
So just, I'm not a rocket scientist. I'm not a guy who's working in a pitching department. If I look at these numbers pretty quickly, I think the pitch percentage is going to go way up on them throwing him fastballs, because he's getting a fastball 56.4% of the time, and he's getting a breaking ball 27.4% of the time. You just got to flip that when you face him now. And if he's going to be like, yeah, he has to prove to hit breaking pitches, because right now he's showing he can do damage on fastballs.
Yeah.
I don't want to get people down, because this week has been fucking fantastic. I tweeted out last night, if Dalton Varsho isn't flying up your ranks of favorite Blue Jays, like, we need to try this again, because he plays some of the best defense in the world, and he has light tower power, and he can run. He can do all the fun things that you love about baseball. So be excited for Dalton Varsho. Just notice they're going to pitch to him a little differently here in the next upcoming week. So if he can find a way to hit the breaking pitches, I'm ready. I'm ready to claim for a breakout. But him doing the home, all five of his home runs are off fastballs too, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's notice that. Keep that in mind when you watch baseball the next couple weeks.
But that's something that he's going to have to adjust to in his approach as well. I mean, obviously after this week, he's going to be a massive outlier, but he is probably going to know that when he steps up to the plate within the next couple weeks or even next couple games, that he's not going to be seeing a fastball like at all. Like, he's going to have to try to get in hitters' counts where they force him to throw fastballs. I mean, that's not rocket science, but he's going to have a better approach in terms of just being able to spit on breaking balls and not chase, right? Like, that's the biggest thing he's going to have to adjust to and get in the hitters' counts. And I think that's what he's been doing good of so far, which is why he's hitting fastballs, because a lot of the counts he has been getting in have been in fastball-friendly counts. So if he can keep that up and pitchers can't throw him a breaking ball because it's 3-1 or 2-0 or whatever, have at it, right?
Yeah, I think, like, he's been the best hitter in the last 2 weeks of hitting mistakes. The one thing that we always hate Vladdy for, right, is, oh, here's middle 91 that Vladdy hits, negative 20 degree launch, and it's a double play. So what Dalton Varsho has been doing is smashing mistakes in the middle. I remember the Rockies grand slam, or one of the home runs against the Rockies. It was the worst pitch you'd ever seen, and you hit it for a home run. That's what it feels like every other team does. So awesome for Dalton. He needs this. So
he needs this bad. Cause this, like I said this to you on stream, this is probably the longest stretch that he has been the best hitter on the team in his entire Blue Jays career. Like, every at bat has been competitive, and you saw it today. They were down. Dalton Varsho hits a double down the line. The ball girl catches it, which was bananas.
Do you think the ball girl gets fired?
No, she probably got a pee-pee whack, though.
Yeah, that's a tough look. Right. And you can't blame the ball. It was going right to her.
I always wonder what that conversation is like. Do you think they say something to her, or do you think she just like the guilt of her knowing it is hard enough?
Oh, her heart sank it immediately after that
Right when she
happened.
touched it. And my favorite part is, Avery, is right after she touched it, she dropped it. Like it was like, okay, maybe you didn't
Maybe you
see me
didn't see
touch
that. Yeah.
it. It's great.
That's a tough job, man, being on there, because the ball was smoked. Yeah, she definitely isn't looking at the ump, probably. I hope she doesn't get fired for that, but it's very funny that you can just have people think about having equipment managers on the ice in hockey. That's what having ball people are on the field.
I think the only way to approach being a ball girl is, or a ball boy, is to just never touch the ball until you 100%. Like not even go for it. But then there's so many balls that go to the outfield and pause the game. I guess you kind of have to, but that's kind of the only way, I think, right?
Like if it just, yeah, if it ricochets off the sidewall and onto the field, you just go pick it up. Just don't give them gloves, you know?
Yeah, that
That
was funny. But a couple other things. We talk about the Jays not being able to step on their throat and separate themselves late in the game. John Schneider, great pinch hit idea. They pinch hit Ernie Clement. Ernie Clement comes in with the Jays up two and hits a single to score the runner from third. That's what you that's why, like, this is probably the best Toronto Blue Jays bench they've had in a very long time. Like, if you look at the bench today, you had IKF, who put on a really good swing on the ball. You have Schneider, who could potentially be on the bench. Ernie, who's a bench guy, and Vogelback. So this is a very good bench for the Toronto Blue Jays, man. It really is. And they're in a good spot.
100%.
That
And
Ernie at bat was awesome yesterday.
yeah, because they did the same thing for Ernie against Caleb Ferguson the last
Yes,
game,
against the Yankees.
and he punched on three pitches. So
Yes.
I like that John Schneider's not thinking anything else. He's like, okay, same guy, same spot, need contact. Infield's gonna be in here, punch it the other way. Great. That's what you need. And I think there's something to be said about being a bench guy and personality-wise of you being loose, not too worried, tense, waiting all game, because you know it's tough for them to get up there. You haven't
Yeah.
played all day, 3 hours you're sitting outside, and
And then
then
you see
okay,
94.
yeah, here's something you need to do. And he's been swinging first pitch fastball. That's what they've been throwing him every time he's come in. Fouled off both of them, I believe, in his last two at bats, but another fastball the other way. That was happy for Ernie to do that, and it was awesome being with the boys seeing that as well.
Yes, great video. On all-time video. All-time video we got there for that. Speaking about that though, you're talking about the bullpen, or not the bullpen, the bench. And that's a good point. Like, you have to have guys that are willing and fine to be on the bench that you know are going to play once every, I'm not saying Ernie's going to play once every four games, but guys like that. And everyone's talking about calling up Aralvis, all this. I don't think it's good for a guy like Aralvis Martinez's development to go from playing every single day in AAA and wanting to develop, and the team wanting him to develop, to then putting him on a bench role behind Ernie, Davis, all these guys, right? Like, it doesn't make sense. I know everyone wants Aralvis called up because he's having a massive week, and it's awesome to see.
Where are the at-bats for Aralvis Martinez? Where are the at-bats for Addison Barger? Where are the at-bats for Spencer Horwitz right now?
None.
There is none.
There's really none, and there's none. There's
Because
none,
like
and
he Aralvis can keep doing what he's doing. Like at some point you have to force their hand to call you up. You're just been too good at AAA to call them up.
yes.
Barger, they're both doing their thing where, but let's see a little bit of failure. Okay, it's gonna happen at some point. It's baseball, and then get back to it. I don't think there's any at bats for them the way this team's constructed, because I don't think Barger or Martinez are good defenders as their calling card. I haven't looked at stats. Just what I've heard about them is defense isn't their calling cards, and this team has turned into a run prevention team, not a run scoring team, as much as we hate that. And like what? You're not sitting IKF. Ernie's been awesome as well, as someone who's open to what his role is on this team and not worried about it. So I just don't think there's any at bats for him right now. As much as I think there might, like there should be, and we'd enjoy to see that. I just can't see them slotting in anywhere.
Yeah, there's really, and yeah, you got the bench guys that are fine with being bench guys. You
And like
got,
Cavan's been great too. This
yeah.
team being what we're 12-10, right?
Yeah.
And Vladdy, George, and Bo are the issues, not
The
every
bottom part of the lineup. Because last year was the bottom part of the lineup. You had Kirk, who was not great. You had Varsho, who was not great at the bottom of the lineup, kind of black holes. In this lineup, you can make the argument the black holes right now are at the top of the fucking order.
Yeah.
You know?
So a bunch of the questions we got from Twitter probably have to do with where do you move those guys if you do? And I just don't think you can.
I would like them to experiment, maybe a little Cavan leadoff. Just try it out. I know George Springer is a great leadoff hitter. I know. One of the best ever. I think he has the second most leadoff home runs ever. But at some point, the guy's just not getting on base right now. He's scuffling a little bit.
Let's look at on bases for everyone. TJ Stats put out a good thing in the offseason where he didn't think Cavan Biggio would be a good leadoff player because he doesn't like swing for that much damage. So yes, he walks a ton, which is really good, but they think they would just pitch to him totally differently, knowing that he won't do a ton of damage and they'll just attack him in the zone and it'll be a lot different. So there is something to be said about way certain guys get pitched just because they're leadoff. Like Cavan gets pitched to differently in the nine hole than he would in leadoff, I think. So if you just look at OBP, this is before
today.
It doesn't count today's game. FanGraphs will always do the next day. But like OBP, the Justin Turner, Daniel Vogelbach, Cavan Biggio, Danny Jansen, and Vlad are the top guys in OBP. And then you have Springer, IKF, Varsho, Ernie, Davis, Bo, Kirk, Kiermaier. Those are the OBP leaderboards. The only one you could see doing that is Justin Turner. Justin Turner's been the best at driving people in. So I don't think there is a lot of changes to be made in this lineup.
Yeah, that's fair.
Who's the ideal leadoff guy for you? Because George's yeah, bats just the
they've flails. Been bad, man. It's sad.
And they can change. It's a long baseball season.
Yes. I'm speaking of right now. I'm not knocking George or saying anything. It's just you could tell George is pressing up there at the plate. Some of the swings he's having aren't he's put a couple good swings on the ball, but he is scuffling a little bit right now. And I hope he figures it out. And I think he will. I think everything will come to a median with this. But watching George Springer's at bats right now are very, very bad. They're not great, but it is it's a weird spot to be in. And speaking about the hitters, I wanted to bring up this stat. Our guy Seth tweeted this today. So we're always talking about the Toronto Blue Jays runner in scoring position, right? Like that's one of the things that we've always discussed about how bad they've been. And there's multiple stats to bring this up. So let's since 2021, for this from Seth, teams have hit 5% above their averages with runner in scoring position and 2% worse in high leverage. The Jays have hit 1% worse with runner in scoring position, so way below league average, and 7% worse in high leverage. Way below league average. These are bottom numbers here. Here's a sample size. Sample sizes are 5,000 with runner in scoring position and 1,800 in high leverage. The Jays' high leverage performance by year has been pretty steady. 21, minus 9%. 22, minus 9%. 23, minus 6%. It's not great.
Yeah, no, that's unfortunately what the eye test is telling everyone when the numbers back it up.
And
it's just not the big hit seems to elude them sometimes.
It is.
The runners on base.
And another thing, it's like a positive side of this team is 12-10 with one of the hardest schedules in baseball. And their offense has been very lackluster, like very poor. And I know it was like that last year, but they are beating very good teams. Like the Padres just won a series against the Dodgers last week.
They did.
Padres, like they just swept during the week, they swept the series. It's like we're facing good teams. It's just this, once this offense starts clicking, and I truly do think it will, especially with these spark plugs they have at the bottom of the order with how contagious hitting is, I truly do think they'll figure it out. But these numbers are very insane to me, especially with how good this lineup looks, especially now on paper with guys really starting to figure it out. It's wild.
Yep. The other thing is, so we can go kind of in today's game. There wasn't a ton from today's game except Ernie and Davis home runs were sick. CB wasn't at his best.
He's sick.
Oh, yeah, apparently everyone's sick. Because I saw on Friday, Jose Barrios looked like he was sick in the dugout. I commented, I was like, wow, he looks like shit. He said pretty much the whole team's sick. So probably nice. They didn't get to enjoy that warm weather as much if you're all sick with sinus infections. Sweeping teams in Major League Baseball is a very, very hard thing to do. That quality teams. And we see it because they don't score a lot of runs. And the thing about them sweeping teams, you don't score a lot of runs. So you have to use your high leverage guys every time. And we saw who all the guys who were down today, right? Romano was down. Jimmy was down. I think maybe everyone else. Swanee was probably down because he
Yeah,
threw
he was
decent.
down, I think.
Like you use all your good relievers in the first two games because you don't beat teams by a lot of runs. And then you wait for the third game. You have to have other decisions like Richards come in and then Nate blow up. So it's tough when you can't beat teams by a lot and use low leverage guys and you have to use your high leverage guys every single game. It's getting hard for them to sweep. It's been the same thing. They've won two close games at the start, besides from the Rockies one. Win two close games at the start, use all your high leverage guys, and no one's left for the third game of the series.
And that's what it is. And that's what you gotta rely on your bats at that point, right? You gotta rely on your bats to separate and not have to use relievers and not have to worry about that. Cause now tomorrow they should be pretty good with their good relievers. I know Garcia will be good to go, as well as Swanee and
Yeah,
Romano.
Richards will be down for sure.
Richards will be down 100%. But yeah, just you gotta be able to separate. And the Jays had a 2-1 lead. At one point in that game, they scored one run for the rest of the game. Like, that's just not going to win baseball games for you, especially when you have a pitcher who is clearly sick, kind of laboring on the mound there. It's not great, but a few bright spots today, man. Great at bats from Ernie Clement. Great at bats from David Schneider. I cannot believe Ernie Clement hit that baseball out.
Yeah, what was he thinking? How do you see the ball at your eyeballs and be like, that's the one I want to hit?
And
That's awesome.
they always say, don't swing it, don't shit. Don't swing at elevated fastballs out of the zone. And Ernie turned on one over his eyeballs. Bananas.
Yeah, and David Schneider, because I put out the thing that David Schneider was like 12th best in baseball in damage per batted ball attempt. And it was the fly out to the track against the Yankees. Like good things were coming for David Schneider, and he goes out and he hits a home run. So that was awesome. Awesome to see as well. Yeah, tough way to lose it. Tyler Wade, catcher's interference, Tyler Wade getting hit in the back foot, 0-2. That's the type of shit that'll drive you nuts. George Springer and Wright. That was a very not like the Blue Jays we know game today. There's
That was a Teoscar. That was a.
a lot of boneheaded mistakes that these Blue Jays don't usually make.
Yes. And that was an ode to Teoscar Hernandez today. That's what we saw a lot of when Teo was here. But I did want to talk about Vladdy, Avery. And I saw someone, I'm not going to name drop, but someone did put up a tweet of a Vladdy swinging, hitting a home run in the All-Star game saying, why did we change from this swing? I have a news flash. The Toronto Blue Jays didn't tell Vladdy to stop swinging like that. Okay. Toronto Blue Jays did not tell Vladdy
Stop
after a
hitting home
20.
runs.
Hey, you know this swing that got you the runner up in the MVP race against Ohtani? Can we switch that? I promise you that they did not change that swing. What it is Vladdy's terrible approach when he steps up to the plate. Doesn't really have an idea what he's doing in his mind. I genuinely don't think he has a clue what he's doing when he's at the plate. And his inability to hit mistakes.
Well, when you say no clue what to do, you obviously know he doesn't have no clue.
He doesn't have no clue. It's just some of his approaches are like that swing he had in that Yankee series with that ball in the other part, the other batter's box. You're not swinging at that if you have an approach. Like at least like some sort of approach pitch by pitch. You're not swinging at that.
And no, it wasn't close. Like that can't be the pitch you're looking for in that spot. And you're completely fooled at that point, which he was when it's that far out.
Yeah, it was bad. But
So, like, I don't even know what it is because I don't think stats can tell you the story of what's different. Like, we know what the stats tell us that the ball is getting hit into the ground, and it's still getting hit into the ground at the hardest rate in baseball, pretty much. Like, his 90th percentile max exit velo is top four in baseball. It's just getting hit into the ground, and it's not elevated anymore. And it seems to be missing pitches in the middle of the plate as well. Yeah, so I don't really know what's going on.
Yeah, well, what I'm talking about is like is being able to hit mistakes. We talked about it with Varsho. That's why Varsho has looked way better at the plays, hitting mistakes. Same with Justin Turner. Justin Turner mashes mistakes. Vladdy had his last at bat, three pitches in the middle of the plate. Three pitches in the middle.
And
Any good hitter,
he took the fourth one.
he took the fourth one for strike three. Any really good hitter like a Justin Turner, I don't think he lets he's seeing three middle balls and not hitting them, no matter what the speed is. And I know the guy was throwing gas, but that at bat was very frustrating to me. Really was. Three pitches. He saw three strikes in the at bat, all middle. That's not gonna play. It's not gonna play. And man, I don't know what it is with Vladdy, man. I know you can't move him down the order or any of that stuff, but his at bats, a Friday aside, have been tough to watch, to say the least. Very tough to watch.
I'm there with you as well. It sucks. We know the player he can be, and he's yeah. I think we'll do this every episode until he's one of the best players in baseball again, because it's so sad to watch, man. We know the good that he can do and how fun of a baseball player he is, and we haven't seen that in a long time.
A very long time. A very long time. I think he only has three home runs this year, and we're almost a month in. That's not good. That's just not good.
You want to get to some questions here?
Yeah, let's get to some questions.
If you had to choose between ceasing and desisting, which one would you choose and why?
I don't know what ceasing means.
Like stopping.
Okay. Probably ceasing.
Yeah, I'm there.
I'm a ceasing guy.
Dylan ceasing. What are your thoughts on the Cat Shit bullpen? The bullpen is good, man. It's just when your top guys aren't available, that's not great. We have some question. Do you see a future with the core of Vlad and Bo? They said like Davis, Ernie, and Varsho are outperforming them in offense and defense. Maybe they need some time. Or does it feel like the beginning of the end for those two?
What do you get for Vladdy in a try? You're not going to get much. And it's
No.
crazy. I know the advanced stats. Vladdy has like a 120 weighted runs created plus, which still blows my mind watching some of his at bats. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I think that's a better question to ask at the end of the season. I think we're still very fairly too soon, too early into the season to know about that.
Yeah. I see a future with them too, man. I don't made ton of play like they get to the playoffs. You play in the AL East. Like
The hardest
what
division ever.
yeah, like where are the expectations? How many division titles would they have won? Would they have won two division titles if they were in like the Central?
In 21, I think they would have won easily. 22, I think they would have won as well. In 23, no, they won 89 games. But I think they would have actually the Central.
Yeah, so it's like,
Hashtag realignment. Align the make the divisions change the divisions up here.
yeah, like it sucks we play in the AL East because of things like this. Like they'd be winning division titles, you think you're the best team ever, and instead we're third in the division, making the
Yeah.
wild card is different.
Yeah.
Should Varsho be our version of Schwarber? Obviously, we'll be higher average and speedier, but a power bat leadoff. I
Oh my
don't.
God, I'd love that.
I just don't think he gets on base enough. Like
Yeah, no. Definitely does not get on base enough.
no, he's an 8% walk rate. Varsho is this season 8.3 career walk rate, and Schwarber's is insane. Like Schwarber's top of the league in walks. He's either hitting a home run. Yeah, last season Kyle Schwarber's walk rate was 17.5%.
Yeah.
They're just not the same hitter. Varsho would be like a classic leadoff man because he's speedy. But yeah, I don't think they have really the same skill sets.
Besides the fact that their home runs rock when they hit
and
them.
they're left-handed.
Yeah.
Thoughts on the loss the day after the B word was used?
No, I think it's fine. 8-4 in their last four series. I'm fine to take accountability for that.
Okay, that's fine. I didn't feel bad that you said it either. The using the B word, it's awesome to use. It feels really good out
It
of the
feels good
hand.
out of the hand.
It really does. Opinions on Vlad signaling to the dugout to challenge every single close play he's involved in that doesn't go our way.
It's frustrating.
Many aren't close. It's like he does it three times per game. I think it once you watch a ton of games, because everyone else on every other team does it as well. It's like soccer. But today he was right on one. Do you remember the thing that got Charlie Montoyo fired?
Yes, when Vladdy said don't challenge.
Yeah. We need more of that from Vlad saying don't challenge. Like it's not it.
All time video. Vladdy literally looking at the dugout and saying, No, don't challenge this. And Charlie Montoyo going like this to the headset. It was an all-time Charlie Montoyo video. That was rock star shit. I do have a gripe to pick with Vladdy's helmet always falling off.
Okay.
I feel like it slows him down. Should we get him a chin strap? a one flap chin strap.
It's like old Bryce Harper. What was it? Bryce Harper's first hit was a double at Dodger Stadium, maybe.
Yeah. And took his helmet off.
In his head, yeah. That's what it. Vladdy just needs to do that. Just as soon as he makes contact, get that thing
just
off.
Just immediately rip it off in the batter's box.
Well, I don't like this question that much. I'll just go over it. But he said, "Will Y-Rod have to be put in the pen due to our struggles closing games?" I don't think we have struggles closing games.
That's an offensive problem.
How long is Danny Burgers on this team? Multiple guys raking in Buffalo. He can't run or play any defensive position. Also gets zero at bats, so who can blame him? Utter waste of $2 million.
But you need guys like that, though. He is a good clubhouse presence who can come off the bench and get on base. His walk rate's great.
Yeah, he's a good major league hitter as well. There's just no at-bats for him. Will the guys who get called up from Buffalo have more positional flexibility? Yes. And that's the only reason they'd get in over Daniel Vogelbach, who's a good major league hitter.
Yeah, and I think the Vogelbach thing is, I don't think Horwitz, I don't think Aurelvis would do well in that position, playing once every week or once every week and a half or 2 weeks. I mean, those guys would not do well in that. Danny Burgers is a grizzled MLB vet. You need a veteran that knows a role like that and is fine with a role like that to be a guy off the bench that is fine to be a cheerleader 6 days a week, right?
Yeah, you need to accepting your role helps you succeed much quicker. I think so.
Like, and I think Horwitz and Martinez would be fine with it, but in the back of their mind, they would not accept the role of never playing.
They're in development stages. They're not in sit on the bench, play once a week. Like, it's just not what you want for the future of your baseball team for them to sit on the bench and not play.
Yeah.
You pay Daniel Vogelbach $2 million every single year for him not to play instead of having your young guys sit on the bench, I think.
Yep.
Right now, are the Jays meeting expectations, surpassing them, or not meeting them?
I think they're meeting expectations. We went into this knowing that the bats wouldn't be great and we'd rely on pitching and defense.
But we also know how tough this stretch is.
Yeah.
Like, let's not get over
let's
that.
Let's wait until they face dog shit teams.
I like that. I think that's a good way to look at it. I also want to touch on Mitch White getting traded. I love Mitch White for what he gave us. Like,
gave us tons.
Always nice to us. He was awesome in person. Only guy who came did the interview in person as well. So I hope the best for Mitch White. Someone asked if Mitch and Margo are still together.
We hope so.
We hope so. So I'm happy for Mitch. California kid goes home. And I hope good things. I hope to see him hit 100 one day and have a real role somewhere.
And shout out to the Jays for doing that, by the way, trading him so he's close to home.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. What else do we got? We got a ton of questions. Appreciate all the people putting questions in. A lot of them are things we touch on during the episode, but yeah. Someone says, I understand that Springer is a vital part of the team, but can we not have him hit one the whole season? He's regressed a bunch.
It's a hard question to answer. I don't know. It's at the end of the day, he's going to go on like a run where you're going to be like, yeah, now I get why we kept him on leadoff, right?
Yep. This guy's like, yeah, I'm all for dropping Vlad down in the lineup, batting 4 or 5. To be honest, having to choose between Clement, Schneider, IKF, and Biggio has to be exhausting. Why not play all four for a game and sit Guerrero and Springer for shits and giggles? Any reason why not?
That would be fun. That would be a fun lineup. That would give you a lot of walks and bat to ball. That would be a great lineup to watch.
They would do the thing where they maybe score 4 runs like the full lineup does every game.
Yeah.
That lineup would care a lot. My wife went on vacation to Miami with her friends for the weekend. Should I be worried?
It's over for you, brother. It's over. When your wife's in Miami, if she's posted on the Insta stories, she's at dudes' booths, yeah, or maybe
she's on
watching
a boat. You're done for.
Or on a boat, or watching a Fisher set at Live Miami. It's over for you, brother. Yep. Pack it up, pack your things, move on, and just enjoy your life. It's a single summer for the boys. Enjoy that.
And I'll go last one here. A lot of these are similar. Again, thank you to everyone. What is the John Schneider moment of the year so far?
He hasn't really had one that stood out to me.
I can't think of one either. Nothing off the top of my head.
Maybe sitting Varsho after back-to-back days with home runs?
I think Sid Sixero chirping him for the Jays fans not liking him when he got tossed out of that.
Yeah,
Yankee
Sid Sixero's a bitch, but whatever.
Oh, and finally, a question from Spencer. If you guys want to put some trivia questions in here for Johnny, I'll do this. Which civilization is known as the Gift of the Nile? Mesopotamia, Indus Valley, Ancient Egypt, or the Mayan civilization?
See.
Ancient Egypt would be correct, Johnny. Great work.
There we go. 1-0. Let's go into some series previews here for the people now.
The Royals are a good baseball team.
The Royals are great.
They are fun.
They are a fun team. And
they
just
have
like
no farm system, and they paid a bunch of old pitchers, and it is working for them so far.
Yes, and another thing, like, they just lost 2-3 to the Orioles, so they're kind of coming in scuffling, and the Jays are coming in hot. This is going to be a very weird series because I am used to watching Jays-Royals and being like, oh, this is a dog walk about to take place here, a sweep. Very good team. So this is the pitching matchups. And again, I got chirped by Bassett because I fucked up the pitching matchups last week for about 5 minutes. No correction, just kept fumble-fucking it. Kikuchi, Singer, Gausman, Waka, Y-Rod versus Alec Marsh. Alec Marsh, friend of mine, not gonna humble brags. I know people hate when I do that, but I do know Alec Marsh pretty well. I think 2-3 again, Avery. You take 2-3, 6 series in a row, I'm starting to feel things.
There are four games.
Oh, four, sorry. And then, Thursday, I don't know who's pitching Thursday. They don't have that out yet. I'm assuming it'd be Berríos, right? Yeah, sorry, it'd be Berríos. Berríos, yeah, what am I saying? It's Berríos Thursday.
That means we'd get, that would be Berríos and Cole Reagans.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Fucking 2 o'clock on Thursday. Like, I hate the midday games when for the Blue Jays. Awesome when the other teams play midday games because you can watch while you're at work, but it's different when my team's playing those games.
Can't really focus on much on it. I'm saying the Jays, you know what? A split.
I need split. If you go 500, I can't go 500 because you're playing 7 games. If you go 4-3, Royals and Dodgers this week,
you're
awesome
in a good
week.
Spot.
I'm happy with that week.
Yeah, I'll take that. And that puts you at a pretty good pace here. I mean, they face the Royals again right after, which we talked about in this podcast. I fucking hate that. I despise that. But then they got a little bit of a they don't even have a soft spot. God damn. They go Royals, Nationals, Phillies, Twins.
Yeah, the Nats play some gritty ball again, too.
Like, look at this. They go Nationals, Phillies, Twins, Orioles, Rays.
Yeah, what?
Just insane.
The worst,
God
man.
Damn it. I hate this schedule, man. This makes me sick. It really does.
We have one decent month, right? That seems easy on paper.
Yeah.
And it's like White Sox, another team,
That's after the Rays. That series I was talking about in May. Yeah.
Nice.
I can't wait to see Paul DeJong. Got to give him a standing O when he comes here. The White Sox are the worst baseball team I've ever seen. They went 2 games getting no hit going into the seventh this weekend.
Yeah. Good thing they signed Tommy Pham. Why did they do that?
I have no idea. Tommy Pham, first of all, signing there. Like, what are you doing? I guess hopes.
Well, no one was going to give him money, it sounds like. Like, that's the only reason he's there, right?
Maybe hopes he gets trades to a contender, right?
That has to be the only thing.
He
does the who's been doing that the past couple of years? Aroldis Chapman.
Aroldis Chapman, because he's on the Pirates right now, Aroldis.
Yeah. Doing the same thing.
But yeah, like this series is gonna be fun. Bobby Witt is incredible. Vinny Pasquantino rocks. MJ Melendez rocks. This is gonna be a very It's going to be a gritty. You're going to have to earn two wins from this team.
These are not your old Royals.
Yes. And Alec Marsh pitched against the Orioles on the weekend and absolutely shoved. So that Tuesday pitching matchup, we're going to be streaming from the Sports Interact studio. Gossman versus Waka should be a fun one. Tomorrow should be a fun one. Brady Singer is kind of good this year. So
he figures it out for a 2-week stretch every single season.
Yeah. So then
hopefully this is the
beginning.
Then
he goes back
to
a AAA pitcher.
Yeah, he does do that.
But anyways, man, fun pod today. We appreciate you guys. It sucks not having the Jays at home, but we have a couple. We only have four more days, and the Jays are back at the Dome.
Are you gonna go to a Dodgers game?
Probably this Saturday. I'll be doing Man on the Street on Saturday.
Okay.
For that, and then we'll be going from there. But anyways, man, we appreciate you guys. Thank you guys for your support. The merch hopefully will be up. I have to get the information from Avery and talk to Shopify about the checkout, because they have it weird. I tried to do a preview of it, and it just takes you to, like, nowhere when you click checkout. So nice. I have to get that fixed. But it should be good. 100%. You have a Johnny G. You have my word. You have my guarantee. It will be good by 100%. Hopefully, maybe we drop it Friday before our Friday beer stream.
I like that.
Get that going there. All right?
Yep.
All right, everyone. Love you guys, man. Thank you guys for listening. Let's have a week. Subscribe. Keep doing your thing and enjoy it. We're close to summer. We're close to hot weather. We're close to the Dome being open. Great vibes at Jays games. And let's win a series or split one. Why not? Anything else, Avery?
Love you guys. We'll be right back.